Prison in those days was a pretty grotty place. They didn't have a nice bed to lie on, individual facilities, color television, three meals a day, turkey at Christmas. If your family or friends didn't bring you food, you didn't eat. Prison was a horrible place. And yet, he can say from the heart, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." I can hear you quietly mumbling to yourselves from here. What? Rejoice in prison? Yes. What? Rejoice because life's difficult? Yes. Rejoice even though I'm sick? Yes. Rejoice in all circumstances? Yes. How? Christian joy is independent of all circumstances and all things on earth because it has its source in the continual presence of Jesus. Joy is the evidence of God in your heart. Again and again in Philippians, Paul speaks of joy and rejoicing. In chapter 1, verse 4, he says, "I always pray with joy." Always. In verse 1:25, he says, "There is joy in the faith of Jesus Christ." In 2:17, he says, "I'm poured out like a drink offering, yet rejoicing." And in 3 verse 1, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord." We're to stand firm for this gospel with joy. Let nothing move us. Chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "We're not to grumble about our circumstances." And Paul had every reason to grumble. Every reason. He was in prison. To safeguard our joy, we must make less of ourselves and more of Jesus. Went to the conference in Australia. 3.5 days of conference, fantastic. And then Friday morning, bang, COVID. And I slept for 2 full days. I'm sick. Mutter, mutter. Oh, I'm so sick. Mutter, mutter. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's the only thing that got me through. Whenever I woke up, I'd try and say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, "Rejoice." That's what got me through. That's what gets you and I through. Whatever we face in life, it doesn't matter what it is. I don't care whether you're sick or in debt or suffering or whatever. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. That's what we have to do. Not in anything in the world, in the government, or even friends, but rejoicing in the fact that Jesus Christ is your Savior. That is the most important thing in your whole life. If you have not got your salvation, you have nothing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I didn't always succeed in saying rejoice in the Lord always. There were times when I didn't feel very good at all. We must focus on what Jesus has done for us on the cross. When we've accepted him for ourselves as our Lord and Savior, having asked for forgiveness of our sins and repented and asked him to take charge of our lives and to live in us through the Holy Spirit. we have something that nobody can take away from us. Nothing is more important than that. We must stand firm, believing that God will protect us and give us the strength to face whatever life may throw at us. There's a song which says, "Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart, for the King is in residence here." We need to run the flag up the mast and say, "I stand for Jesus." But our joy can be stolen. Verse 2, he talks about dogs, evildoers, and mutilators, people in circumstances that try to bring us down. You don't believe in all that stuff, do you? Yes. I believe Jesus died for me. People will try and ridicule us and reject us or get us to focus on our circumstances. "Oh, you're looking very sick today." No, I'm not. I'm standing on the promises of God. We all want to be liked. But as believers, the world knows and can see that there is something different in us. They must know that our confidence is in the grace of God. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Whether they have confidence in the flesh, in the world, the government, the council, etc., 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 or we have confidence in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Take your pick. Chapter 3, verse 8. "What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to knowing Jesus Christ." Can you say that? Can you say that from the heart? He says he considers them rubbish. "All right, I've got a nice car. I've got a 55-inch TV set. I've got a computer. But it's all rubbish. It's all rubbish compared to knowing Jesus Christ." Jesus is not the icing on the cake. Jesus is the cake. He's what we need. He's what we accept as Savior and Lord. It's what he has accomplished on the cross for us. That we're not to focus on our own personal achievements. Paul calls them rubbish. When Jim read, he said he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, he was zealous for the law, etc., 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 but he counted all that as rubbish just for knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Verse 9, "not having a righteousness from the law." For the Jews, the law was everything. You followed it every day to the letter. But Paul reminds them and us that following a set of rules is a dead end. Our righteousness from God, our relationship with Jesus, comes through faith, a belief and a trust that what Jesus has said and done is true, and for believers leads to a life of eternal life with Jesus in heaven. Chapter 3, verse 14 says, "I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me." We're in the world, yes. And there are a huge number of people who do not know Jesus as Savior. And by our own efforts, we will fail. But through the power of the Holy Spirit and prayer, we will see God move in amazing ways. Our confidence is in God and his plans, which are perfect and always on time and in the right place at the right time. There is a stirring in the body of Christ worldwide. Talking to people at the conference from Papua New Guinea and from Fiji, God is doing something. Exactly, praise the Lord. Not just in New Zealand, but around the world. There is an excitement building in the body of Christ for what God is about to do. The plans are in place, and we're going to see a real harvest of souls. Because the government can't fix things. But God can give us the strength to handle our daily life. We'll continue to look to Jesus for guidance and for wisdom and for answers. And we're to love each other. See past our individual quirks and see to the heart of the person. The Bible tells us to give, and it will be given unto us. So call someone. Email them. Give a gift or a card. Speak a kind word. And the rewards will be an increase in your joy in the Lord. The quickest way to get you out of the dumps is to go and minister to somebody else. Yes, we are eagerly awaiting eternal life, but in the meantime, we are to be a blessing and an encouragement to others. One of the most incredible promises in the Bible is found in Philippians 4:19, which says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." When we give to others, we open up our lives for God to fill us with what we need. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Every phrase in Philippians 4:19 is weighed with meaning. It starts off, "My God." A promise based on a personal relationship with Jesus. When we accept him as into our lives, God welcomes us into his spiritual family. He's our Father and we are his kids. The Jewish word is Abba, which means Daddy. Daddy God. That's how close he wants us to be. My God will meet. God is the source of supply for meeting all our needs, financial, material, physical, emotional, social, or any other need you can think of. He may use other people to help, but ultimately everything comes from him. My God will meet all your needs. We don't always get what we want. And sometimes we fail to get the things we think we need. Wants and needs are easily confused. God promises to do what is best for us. Okay. And then he goes on, "My God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches." How rich is God? Think about his resources. He created everything. His supply never runs out. It's not like Pack and Save or the warehouse or Countdown, all the empty shelves. God's supply never runs out. We can bring any and every difficulty to him, and we will always find grace to help us in our time of need. My God will supply all your needs in accordance with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. When we turn our lives over, we receive, it says in Ephesians 1:3, every spiritual blessing. Because of our position in Jesus, we've been credited with his righteousness in exchange for our sins. God willingly blesses us. And what an amazing promise to which Paul and I, you and I, can say in verse 20. together. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And it won't be easy. I guarantee somebody here this afternoon will hit the wall for some reason or other. And you'll be reminded of those words, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. But do it and see what happens. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Indeed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word to us this morning. Help us indeed, Lord, to rejoice in the Lord always, that there is no greater thing we can do than to rejoice in you for what you have done, because you rejoice over us with singing, Lord. You think we're just the bee's knees. We're your kids, Lord. You worry about us. You're concerned for us. You have a plan for us. And so in return, Lord, help us to rejoice in you always. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.